Happy Earth Month, everybody. Now, I know every year we write down our different goals that we want to accomplish for yourself, people around you, manifest it. And maybe one of our goals for 2024 is to shop sustainably. You value companies that are thoughtful in every aspect of how they run their business. Good news, Macy's makes it easy to do just that. This Earth Month, join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's, Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. You can donate online or in-store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose. And who doesn't love going to the park, especially in the spring? Fresh air, frisbees, picnics, super cute dogs on leashes. I mean, that's my dream. Soaking up the sun with your friends or your kids or your nieces and nephews. Check this out. Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project. Their goal is to transform vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help create healthy, livable communities for generations to come. I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. Again, donate in-store or online and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
Hey guys, it's your lady gang, Jack Vanek, Kelty Knight, and Becca Tobin. Thank you so much for subscribing on iTunes, and thanks for supporting the great sponsors who make it possible for us to have this much fun with you every single week for free.
Well, what is this?
Welcome to the lady gang.
That's amazing. Say that again.
The lady gang.
Things are about to change around here.
Each week, we catch up with Hollywood's hottest girl posse, Kelty Knight, Becca Tobin, and Jack Vanek.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special episode of Lady Gang. Oh my gosh, I've been looking forward to this all week, you guys.
I'm so excited.
A very special sexy guest, Dr. Emily Morse. She's a sex expert. She's going to do a special episode and really basically answer all of our questions. And you know we have some because you've heard the rest of the episodes. You know we're very confused. She, of course, is the host of the very, very popular and radical podcast Sex with Emily. And she also has a site. Amazing. But we want to welcome you. We want to make sure that you're heading over to iTunes, subscribing to the podcast, leaving us a 5-star review. I think you're going to want to after you hear this one. You can always listen at podcastone.com or on the Podcast One app. You can also follow us at The Lady Gang. And this week is the week that we're going to hit
10,000 followers.
Yeah, it's going to happen. So go over there because we have something very special planned when we get that K-Basada number. You can also go to theladygang.com, sign up for our newsletter, and that's also, of course, where you can do your Ask the Lady Gang questions. I want to start today, just before we get into everything, with a very special email that we got regarding one of our episodes.
That Kelty was very confused about.
I'm scared. So it came from Taylor Swift. The name is Taylor Swift. The email address
is... Not the real Taylor Swift.
I'm too famous to give you my email at swiftnation.com. Sounds real to me. The subject is cockroaches at the zoo. The message says, all three of you lovely ladies now have your own cockroach named after you at the Bronx Zoo. You're welcome. Love the podcast. Hug, hug. So either this is the real Taylor Swift and she loves the podcast and she heard us kind of bagging on her about the ridiculousness of the Grammys and she's now named the cockroaches because you can name cockroaches after someone you hate, or
because
this is a super fan.
She has a big vendetta against
us. I'm going to do some digging and I'm going to find out what her like official or unofficial.
Well, we looked up swiftnation.com and
it doesn't exist.
Okay,
so well, we don't know who it was, but either way, here's the thing. We like Taylor Swift. I just wasn't a fan of that moment. So let's just be clear. And Becca is holding her tongue. Becca,
no,
what's coming up?
It's because I'm going to burp. Okay, it's time for...
Good week.
Yes, it is.
Bad week.
Oh, no.
All right. Jack.
I'm going first?
You're going first today.
Okay. So my good week is, guess what I got?
Oh, my gosh.
She made it. A too lazy to be crazy flannel. Is
there
that for me?
No, I need this one. You can buy yours on jackknight.com. No, I'll bring you one next week. My too lazy to be crazy flannels are available now.
Oh, we're just peddling.
And everybody needs
our
one.
Wares, but everyone needs this so badly.
This is like our own little mini inside joke that we've made, and now I think everybody like deserves to be a part of it.
I think I'm a part of pop culture in a cool way that I never have been before.
I know. Don't you feel included?
I feel
really
so included.
Like that.
This was inspired by both of you guys.
Well, we're gonna Instagram a picture of this because it's everything.
Yeah, good job, Jack. One. Way to be a real entrepreneur.
You know, I'm trying to do my thing. So, anyways, that's my good week. My bad week. Okay. So I feel like I am a pretty like open-minded person. Like I don't really judge people that much. Like
just Taylor Swift.
Except for like all the time on this podcast. But there's a few things in life that I think are like douchebag level 5 million.
Okay.
And that really bother me.
Okay.
One of those things are fedora hats. Another one of those things are e-cigarettes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the third thing, which you will disagree with me on, are hoverboards.
No, I agree. Oh, no, Kelty definitely won't. She spins around CBS on hers.
Kelty loves hoverboards. So, and okay, so I've had this, my roommate and I have had, we have this like, the little sayings that we say. And we say, one of them is, an e-cig is like a fedora for your mouth.
Okay.
And the other one is, a hoverboard is like an e-cig for your feet. So all those things are like connected in my mind.
Yes.
Just like as douchebag trifecta.
I appreciate that.
Scott rode a hoverboard while smoking an e-cig, didn't he?
Wearing a fedora. Please, God.
So the other day, I was driving down the street, and thank God it was not Scott. I would break up with him immediately. I'm driving down the street in a normal, like, two-lane road, right, where there's, like, cars going through the streets. And who rolls up next to me?
Nick Cannon.
Just some adult male on a hoverboard wearing a fedora
with
smoking an e-cig.
No way.
Not kidding.
God
Not
sent kidding. That down from the heavens for you, just so you know he's watching.
You know what? And here's the thing, too, is I was right by my house, and there's something weird about my street that every time I drive down my street, like, weird stuff happens. Yeah. And I'm like, am I on the Truman Show? Like, things will be like, okay, now ball go out, but where's the kid? And then I have to, like, look for the kid. And then it's like, oh, car crash right in front of my house. There's always something happening.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, this was – somebody is videotaping me right now.
For 1 second, were you turned on?
No. What?
Like, for 1 second, were you like, wow.
No.
I was wrong about the fedoras and the e-cigs? No.
No, that was, like, the worst thing that's ever happened to me. I was very offended.
Oh, my God. Kelty, can you beat that?
I can.
You always can.
Here's my good week. It's very quick. My husband was talking to me, and he used the word colloquial, and my panties got wet.
I thought your word was...
bleak.
Bleak.
Wait,
no, that's
what?
Just, he used the word, my husband has an amazing vocabulary, and he was like, it's very colloquial. And I just thought, you're so smart, and I'm so turned on. And I just thought it was such a great word.
This is the high
I like
of your
that.
Week.
It's hot.
It is hot.
And that was it. Like, that's I've honestly had
a
bad week.
Horrific week. And so there was one bright light of, like, my husband saying colloquial in a sentence, and then the rest has been pretty shitty.
Tell us about it.
Okay, bad week.
Please tell us.
So,
please tell us all the things you haven't already told us about your bad week.
Okay, so a couple episodes ago, I talked about Tiny Mouse. Do you guys remember when I found the mouse and I rescued it in the Tupperware and put it in the field?
Uh-huh. Did you found him dead on the side
found
of the road?
Him dead.
No, listen to this. So then, I'm cleaning up again, and I look over to the trash bin, and I see another mouse hopping in the trash.
I told you they were in
mice.
Your house. I told you that.
So now it's official. I have mice. So this is what happens. I'm like, oh my gosh, Tiny Mouse has a brother. So I think, okay, the Tiny Mouse went in. There was two in the flowers, and I didn't notice. So then I close up the trash bag. I make Chris take the trash bag out. We're sure we got the mouse because we're looking everywhere under the sink. There's nothing. And then I notice that almost entirely underneath my sink, you guys are going to think I'm pigs, but you know my house is sparkling clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The whole thing under the sink is just filled with mouse poop. The whole thing. And so I start taking out the trash bag box, and, like, I open the trash bags, and there's just mouse poop. So, like, they've been in there for now 3 weeks. And
wait,
so,
I have to stop you. What'd you do with the Tiny Mouse's brother that was in the garbage bag?
Well, I tied
put
up the bag
the
and put
disposal?
It in the... No, I put it in the dumpster. No, I'm not being nice to the mouse anymore.
You guys
suffocated that mouse
for saying I would turn the disposal on.
No, I thought it
was... Kelty, that's even worse because the disposal will kill it. Oh my God, I can't speak. Kill the mouse immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, no, now it's in hell in the dumpster. And so
it's slowly dying.
But listen,
asshole.
It gets worse, you guys. So then I have to call the exterminator to, like, make sure there's no other mice, right? So he comes over and he can't come for a day. He's busy. So I go down to Home Depot and I'm trying to decide what mouse trap to get. So here's the options. The mouse trap that you go, it goes in, and then when it tries to get back out, a noose goes on it and it strangles it.
Shut up.
Secondly, a mouse trap, it goes in and then it just chops it in half. And then
why are these worse than, like, a normal mouse trap?
It's horrific. So the one I chose was the sticky foot one, where it's just like a little pan of, like, sticky you can't get out of.
That's another slow death.
It's a horrific. So anyway, I clean out everything. We put the sticky trap down, and I'm like, hey, so here's the good news. I had to go to work. So I sent Elena, my assistant lady, I sent her the next day at 12 o'clock to meet the exterminator. And I was like, let me know how it goes. So she texts me and she goes, okay, so we boarded up the holes and resealed all the pipes so you won't have any other problems. But there were seven tiny mice on the mouse pad this morning.
Seven.
Oh my seven God. Can seven tiny even fit?
Were they alive? Mice.
That's the end of the story.
That sounds like Coachella.
It was, anyway, I'm terrified. It was horrible. There's more mice. I tried to be nice. I tried to be a hippie. Let me get the tiny mouse and save it. Nope. Those mice, if you come in my house.
Do you think they're ever going to run your PETA ad again?
Probably not.
It's okay. I did one too.
Oh, Kelty.
It's out.
That wins before mine.
Okay. Okay. But now you're going to win.
But here's mine.
Okay.
So my good week was I went to this spa in Beverly Hills. It's a Japanese spa.
Saw this on your Insta.
And you get your massage by this tiny little Asian woman who puts literally, she's on your body on all fours. Her knees are in your hamstrings. Her elbows are in your back.
It's like a Thai massage.
It was amazing. Like, so good. And I'm not even really one of those massage people. I can, like, deal with it for 15 minutes, and then I'm, like, thinking about other, you know, whatever.
So you got to have a strong, nice, yeah, full body.
It was amazing. And then when you're finished, they bring in sugarfish sushi.
What? Where is this?
It's in Beverly Hills. It's
What's it called?
Tomoku or Tomoko or something.
That is my heaven.
Excuse my awful pronunciation. It was amazing.
Wow.
It was beautiful. So that was
Treat yourself right.
Treat yourself.
I need to do that next week.
Okay, so that was my good week. Here's my bad week. Okay. Last night, I went to an event for it's called A-List, and it's the A-List. It's like for a PR company for brands and all this stuff. So the owner is this beautiful, amazing, generous woman who invites us to her house to try on jewelry and get clothes and like one of those really fun
life
things.
On the A-List.
So famous. So famous.
No one's ever inviting
Until
us to this stuff.
I've never been invited.
You're not ready yet. Okay. So I'm feeling like cute. I got to like style myself, which is always nice.
Did you get a Coachella outfit?
No. Mm-hmm. I got like normal adult clothing. Mm-hmm. And so I feel really cute. And I'm not one of those people who ever looks in the mirror and I'm like, I got it. You know what I mean? I'm like, this will do. I'm fine. Like, I'm very much aware of where I stand in the
hottest
Hollywood
scale.
Pyramid. But I'm feeling pretty good. And I go to this event, and 5 minutes after getting there, Olivia Culpo.
The one that was against me in the best dress.
Miss Universe.
Miss Universe. I lost to.
She's haunting us. She walks into this house, and she didn't have her hair and makeup done professionally, or from what I could tell, because you can usually tell those things.
Yeah.
She like pulled her hair back, like in a like easy bun. She might have done a little something to her eyebrows, had on some mascara, but that was like really it. And I just like look at her and I'm like, this is why I feel bad about myself living in Hollywood. She is like the most stunning human being on the planet. She's also very cool and very sweet. So I'm like, oh, I feel shitty about myself because like I'm just not like that
I'm
girl.
I'm just an average girl.
You're not Miss Universe,
and I'm also,
Becca.
I'm not Miss Universe. And it's like so upsetting. And I'm also so Aryan, which gets me really pissed off. Like she has like some sort of I can't offend people of my own color. Anyway, she has some sort of sprinkle of something amazing. And it's like, as like a little Jewish white girl, you're standing there like looking up at this like naturally tall, magical creature. And you're like, where did I go wrong? Like, where, how? How did my mom just not find some like hot, sexy Cuban man? You know, it's like, I love you, Dad, but like,
why didn't she cheat on you? You know,
seriously.
Damn.
So like just moments like that where you go from feeling like top dog to, you know,
you got to get knocked down somehow or your head's too big anyways.
That's true. Please.
I love that Olivia, and we actually asked her to be on the podcast, and I don't think she said no, but her people said no. And I feel like we should.
I think she'd be great on it.
I think she'd be amazing. We love her.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
But here's the thing. We're going to put her in a small black box and she'll do the podcast from behind that so we can't see her and feel bad about ourselves.
Well, I'll just like start crying.
I'm fine with that. All right.
Should we move on?
I'm
so excited what's coming up. We're going to have Dr. Emily Morse here, and she's going to answer, and we're calling this all the sex questions that you're scared to talk about with your friends. I love it.
Okay, what's going on? Now, here's the Lady Gang.
Okay, we have a very special guest today, Dr. Emily Morris. She was voted the number one dating and sex expert by datingadvice.com and the number one dating and sex expert to follow on Twitter. She's proven to be the go-to thing for all sex and relationships. She's the author of the very popular book that I need to pick up, Hot Sex, Over 200 Things You Can Try Tonight. Ooh. She's the host of Sex with Emily. It's a radio show and a podcast that you can listen to in your car, and it's awesome. She's appeared on pretty much every show that exists. Today Show, Dr. Drew, The Doctors, Bravo, Inside Edition, Watch What Happens Live, E. And we're very excited that you're here because I think our listeners are going to learn a lot. Oh, and yeah. I am going to learn a lot.
I hope so.
Welcome.
You guys are so fun. And you had cocktails.
Yeah, there you go.
It should be a good time, but then, yeah, champagne, same thing. And alcohol. It's good.
It's how you get people on your side. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's how you have a little
bit. I was already in. And now I'm wearing.
Perfect.
So first of all, I want to know, what do your parents think of your career?
That's a great question. They're actually really supportive. My mom, at the beginning, she's like, you're doing what? Uh-huh. Like, your sex? What? Like, oh, God, my crazy daughter in California. Because I'm from Michigan. She's like, California. But it's been 10 years. And I think it's just like, she was like, how are you going to make a living doing that? And for a long time, I struggled because I did start a podcast 10 years ago when seriously, podcast, people like, just figured out what it was maybe 2 years ago with Serial.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, do what you love. The money will follow. You guys have this great questionnaire you're asking me here, like about these. Do you talk about this, that people should go to your Instagram and see the questions? This is awesome. Like one book every girl needs to read. And stupidly, maybe after college, I read Do What You Love, The Money Will Follow. And I believe, like, what's my passion? So I did a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And then I finally stumbled on this. I'm like, this is it. I love sex talk. So now that it is, it's, you know, a living, she's like, fine with it. She's as long as you're like paying your rent, you're doing fine. But they're not, you know,
what's
they're like
liberal
Jewish
though?
Feeling. My father passed away when I was young, but I often think, God, what would he think? No, but I think he'd be cool. My whole family's just, I think they get a kick out of me. And you know what it is? Yes, it is sex with my mom. So I was like, oh, she's got a show about relationships, depending on who she's talking to, like one of her clients.
What's it called,
I'm like,
though?
That's cool. Right, exactly. Like, don't Google my daughter. But I think my family, it's really, you know, entrepreneurial and doing my own thing.
So but isn't there crazy that there is that stigma?
Oh,
because we're all having sex. So
everybody,
why is it so weird to talk about it?
Well, that's why. Okay, so right. So that's the thing is that there's so much stigma with sex. And the reason why I started it was because I was confused about sex. I was like, why is everyone saying they're having the best sex of their life all the time? Because I just, you know, also like hard on myself. So I'm like, I certainly haven't had the best sex of my life. So I just started interviewing people about their sex life and their relationship. And that's how it started. But yes, it is still very taboo. But my show's pretty, I mean, it's not like a dirty sex, like, you know, show. But it's informational and educational. But you cannot get away from sex. Like, when people unhear your form, you're like, what's your nickname? I'm like, sex. Like, people are like, oh, there's sex. Hey, sex. Like, when you're at a bar, my friend's like, oh, I want to introduce you to this guy. Like, here's my friend, Sex with Emily. I'm like,
There's a last name.
So it is. And people hear that. And it's just, you know, they make, obviously, judgments, but I love what I do and everybody has sex.
What is the number one question you get asked?
I get asked, you mean sex questions or personal?
Like when people find out what you do, they want to know their thing. What is the thing?
Well, their sex question, I would say, is why can't I have an orgasm during intercourse?
Interesting.
That's a good question.
Wow. Yeah, it is. I mean, because the thing is, we're fed this myth that every woman just magically has like orgasms and like, you know, has, you know, firecrackers going off, fireworks going off. But only 30% of women can actually have one during penetration. And of that 30%, not every time. Like probably, you know, half the time, maybe.
Right. This is one of the questions coming up. So I want to get you to answer that. I want to know about the Kegel camp.
Okay.
Because WTF... I think I know the Kegel. Is that when you lift the golf balls with your vagina? I don't know. You have a camp where you're going to teach people. And so what I wanted to do.
Wait, there's an actual camp?
I have an iPhone app called Kegel Camp.
Oh.
It's a Kegel. I'm not even saying it right.
No, it's Kegel Kegel.
Here's the thing.
Kegel.
We're all sitting here in chairs. And most of the people that are listening are probably.
Just doing a Kegel.
And so here's the thing. Explain what it is. We're going to do one together.
Oh, I love this.
We can hold hands.
So here's the thing. So they are. The reason why you should do them. Women and men. But women for women. Men and women do it the same way, but it's our pelvic floor muscles, right? So over time, the atrophy, like they will get weakened, they will get weaker, especially after like childbirth, or just as you get older, which means that you sneeze and you pee, which isn't fun, urinary incontinence. And also women who have trouble having orgasms, it's like any other muscle, the stronger you make these muscles, you build these muscles, like do them for a month every day for 5 minutes, like you will be having more orgasms. You will be having more sexual power. Right? You're going to do it now. I'm buying it.
I'm buying it.
Buy Kegel Camp on iTunes.
Done.
So how you do it is you... You know, when you, the pee stopping muscles. So when you stop and start the flow of urine, like someone's knocking on the door, you're like, those are the muscles. So
are you guys doing it? Are you doing it? I'm trying to do it.
So you're like, okay, find that muscle. You tense it and you hold for 5 seconds and then you relax.
Oh, so you're supposed to hold
3 seconds.
I've just been doing like, meh.
Well, okay, but you could start with like 3 seconds, but you're supposed to hold them and then relax them. And then my app has 20 levels that you go through. So it's like really hard. It takes like weeks if you do it every day.
Hold on. But now it's making me feel like I have to pee. Is that right?
Yes. I also have to pee.
Just no. That's normal. Well, maybe we shouldn't do it. But you could do it. Yeah, it is normal. But okay. If you already peed, then you're fine. But there's all these great – the thing about Kegels is there's all these great tools now. There's like Kegel balls. There's this
– yeah, is it better to use something or is it good enough just to do it?
Do them on your own. Honestly, yeah. You could do – this is like I have a friend who's – she's a sexologist as well. And she's like, every time I'm on the phone, if I'm having a phone call, like I just do them. Like that's her trigger because people are like, oh, you can do them at a traffic light. But no one remembers.
Right.
And the reason why I created the app because I was like, it has a reminder function. So it's like time for Kegel camp on my phone every day at 11. And I'm always like snooze because, you know, it's hard to do your own thing. But then I eventually do them and I just, you know, and then you build up to like these levels. But yeah, you – and it's – I think you'll feel it. Like, I feel it. Like, I feel more turned on. I feel like I can have different kinds of, like, orgasms that are not usually as accessible.
Have you heard of the phenomenon naked stretching?
Naked yoga?
Do you want me to tell you about it?
Kelsey has just done it.
So I invented something great where...
you would not.
So if you don't feel like having sex or you're not really, you know, you're a busy woman on the go, you can just get naked, stretch, like do a full yoga class and have your man just lay there and look at you. And I think they like it.
Okay, but here's the thing. That to me sounds like he's just going to be like, get over here because you're so hot and I'm turned on.
Yeah, and then they have a bony.
Then you're just, that's like foreplay. Like,
if he's like... taking care of business.
Yeah, what if he's taking care of
perfect. If you don't want to have sex and he takes care of business and it's over in 10 minutes, then you're not, you're good.
And what do you think? I
think that's fine. I mean, okay. if you're not in the mood for sex, yes. Which as long as it's not like a ongoing, like every night you're like, time for naked stretching and you don't often have sex with your husband, I'd be like, maybe everyone's third day have sex. But God, there's so many times we're just not in the mood. Yeah. And so... yeah, nothing wrong with him getting his and you getting your stretching.
Okay. Naked stretching.
I've doctor no
approved.
With that.
Doctor Emily approved. Approved.
Hey.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're stretching.
And you're getting a workout, which I love. Okay. So what we did is we have so many female listeners and I think we didn't want to have people tweet in or Instagram because we wanted them to stay anonymous. And so we wanted our listeners to have the opportunity to have a conversation with you and ask the questions that they are terrified to ask anyone else. Because here's the very interesting thing is that, you know, here we talk about a lot of things, but there is that stigma even with your girlfriends of like, you don't want to admit that you're the one with the whatever.
No, absolutely. So that's why I do radio and that's why I do podcasting because people can be anonymous.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So here they go. These are the sex questions we're scared to ask our friends. So all anonymous. Here's the question. First one, how wet is the right amount of wet and what do you do if your vagina just is always dry?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay. So first of all, there is a myth that how wet you are indicates your arousal level. And it can fluctuate for a lot of women throughout the month. You can be be really, you know, you can be more wet than others. You can be aroused and not be wet at all. You can be really wet and not be aroused. So that's just one thing I want to clear because, you know, guys are like, oh, she's not wet.
But that's our bodies really change. Interesting. Yep. Did you guys know that?
No, I think there needs to be like a t-shirt.
Yeah, no, seriously. Well, no, let me tell you my dream. So let me tell you the answer is that lubricant. Like my issue is that like my dream, one of them, I should add this to my quiz, lube on every nightstand. Like because lubricant is so underrated because people think, and I think guys think this too, they're like, oh, she's like, there's a problem. I'm not turning around enough. So if we use lube, she's dry. It's my fault or there's discomfort. Like lube is something like you keep like tucked away.
If something's going wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong, better bring out the lube. No, I use lube all, even if you're wet, it just adds a little something to it because it's a different consistency.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, like, I think you can never have like too much lube in your life. And leave it on your nightstand and make it part of your, so that's what she should do. Just add, you know, it could be like medication she's taking. It could just could be her natural cycle. But I love, and you don't buy the kind of the drugstore. It's like, buy Astroglide.
KY jelly.
What's your go-to? Do you have a go-to?
My favorite is Pure. It's PJUR. And you know, it's a little more expensive, but it's, you know, probably like $15, $16 a bottle, but it'll have a little pump. So it's easy. You don't have to like Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me, like, you know,
Get my camera.
I like literally, and look, comes in like a classy bottle, so it could be like face lotion. But you just add a little
bit.
But it's not. Don't invite someone on your face. But I seriously think that women should not be ashamed of it, because also there's studies that show that women who actually added lubricant were more likely to have orgasms than not.
I believe that. Yeah, totally. 100%.
Right? Because it's a different, even if you're right, it goes away. Fuck, but this is just, you just keep adding. Like, I just always like, the more lube, the merrier.
For sure.
And then you can put it on your body, rub around. It's a good time.
Okay. I love that. See, we're so glad you're here. Yeah. That's only question one.
Fun.
Now I'm not going to feel so bad when I'm like dry as a desert down there.
We're going to bring you some stuff next.
I can't wait.
Are going to be on my podcast soon, and we'll bring you some later.
I can't wait.
Okay. Someone on Twitter actually was brave enough to ask. They wanted to know what a queef is. What's a queef?
I don't think they're asking what a queef was. I think they're asking.
It's a vagina.
What do you do when you queef? Is it embarrassing? How strange? No.
Just keep going. Like, if you're in the middle of something, I say our sex is messy. It's right. Not always, you know, there's a lot of fluids, there's a lot of noises, there's grunts, there's things, you know, and if you're with, I say you just keep going. Like, it's a natural part of sex. Like, you're going to queef, you're going to do other things you don't want to do. There's going to be weird liquid, things are going to come out, and I think you just keep going. Or you could, like, smile. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just keep going. It's like totally natural. It happens. Like, it means that you have the penis in and out, and it's like the air. Like, it's air bubble. It happens.
It's not like you're actually having. But you know how my trick is this. So you know how, like, when once it starts, it can't stop. Like,
the queefing?
Are you the type of person where you're like, if a little air comes out and then you're like, I know 10 are following?
No, but okay.
Yes. Let's just say yes. Yes, all the time.
So I should have tweeted this. I should have emailed this question.
Anonymously.
No, but like, I feel like I can't. So once I feel like my first one, I'm paralyzed because I know that if I move, if I do anything, it's coming.
Yeah.
So I started taking the sheet.
Wait, what?
The sheet and like muffling my vagina.
Vagina laugh.
It's the best thing
I've muffled
ever.
The vagina. Here's the thing. You're probably not the only person that multiple queefs.
No. I do it also when
somebody learns something.
I also do it when I go to the bathroom because sometimes a little fart comes out. You can't control it.
Right.
You wrap your hand with toilet paper. You put it over your butthole and it's called the muffler.
That is the best thing I've literally ever heard.
Thank you.
Damn, okay. That needs a shirt too.
Becca is raising the roof.
People are so, this is common. We're so self-conscious during sex. Like, what's he thinking of my body and what's he thinking of my queefs and what's he thinking of, you know, whatever. And I think like, you know what? He's in bed with you. He's really attracted to you. He's so excited to be having sex with you. You think that because you queefed or you think that you gained a pound or you did something funny that he's like going to leave? No.
Yeah, men don't really care.
No, not at all. I mean, hopefully you're with a guy who like gets it. Like that happens, you know?
That leads us to our next question, which is like, what is he thinking when he is down there? Because here's the thing. For lots of women, it takes a minute.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Like 25 to
40.
Right.
And so you're sitting, right. So you're sitting there and you're enjoying yourself, but is he thinking like, oh my God, can she just come already? Like what is she thinking?
It depends on the guy. If you're with a guy, the right guy, he's thinking, this is so great. I'm into it. And, I hope I can get her there.
Honored.
They should feel honored that they get to pray, that they get to, bow at the, beauty of your, you know.
What do you call it?
Yoni. I hate that word.
I know. What's a good word for
there
vagina?
There isn't a frigging good word.
There isn't a good word.
I don't
word.
Even like, on my show, I'm like, I hate saying vagina. I'm not going to say anything else. But like, but there are men who are like not fans. Like, they're just not.
And those are not
the guys that you want to be with. Like, on Loveline, too, like, we were talking about Mike Catherwood. Like, he's always like, if you are a guy who doesn't like it, you should be sent to Syria if you don't like doing it. And I've been with guys. I just told a story about this as the storytelling thing. I was with a guy once. I was like, what is the deal? Like, what? I finally said to him.
Did he just not want to go down?
I was like, what is the deal? I'm like, I gave him three options. I was like, so we've been dating for like 9 months. I was like, so it was long distance. So, like, okay, I realize that you don't often perform oral. I'm just curious. Like, A, do you think I don't like it? B, you're not sure exactly like what to do or what I like. Or three, you're not that into it. And he's like, I guess I'm just not that into it.
What?
And I was like, I'm not that into you. Yeah. So it is true that just like some women don't like going down on guys, some men don't like it either. But I hope he's thinking like, what can I do to please her? And I get so many emails and calls about that. And guys are like, what can I do? How can I be better at oral sex? And I think that women, we're looking at the clock, like it's been 10 minutes about. And hopefully you're with someone that you can both feel really comfortable and settle in and, you know, enjoy.
Okay. Let it happen.
The great hair debate. what are we supposed to do with the hair?
Right. Like, is the bush back? Is that what
like,
you mean?
I don't know. I well, here's the thing. I think we have some older listeners. We have younger listeners. I think everyone's kind of wondering, like, what does everyone else's vaginas look like? Mm-hmm. And because, you know, when you're dating,
right,
you don't want to scare off people. Like, what are you supposed to do? Can you tell us, please, like, what is our vajayjay going to look like?
God, I mean, I think that you trim for sure, shave, trim, and I think nothing or like a landing strip is mm-hmm. what is still what people are doing these days.
Right.
And you just I think, but also whatever you feel comfortable with. Like, if you are happy rocking whatever you're rocking, then do that.
A big old bush?
If you want the big old bush and you're like, a bush is back, do it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't like to say that this is like the, but I do think that what the norm is, mm-hmm. is that, you know, people are taking care of it. They're trimming, they're shaving, they're taking it all off, which to me is like kind of easier. And I also got lasered. Well, not all of it.
I get lasered. Right. It's the most amazing thing in the entire
ever.
World.
Because I'm like, but I didn't get it all lasered because I was like, well, what if the bush comes? It's like 10 years. I'm like, what if the bush does come back? Like, I want a bush, which I hope never happens, but I have a little bit of like.
Yeah.
Just a little room
for growth.
Room for growth. Exactly.
I do not, but whatever.
But I think, and also I think you might be with a partner who's like, you know what? I think it'd be hot if you took it all off or you have to strip. So just, you know, discuss it, but also just do what feels good to you.
Okay, someone asked, what if you're having sex and you kind of start to smell yourself?
Okay, so if you start to smell yourself and it's like an odor that you're not used to, typically it could mean that you have an infection. It could mean that like a bacterial infection or a UTI, so common. And or you might need to like go to shower or something. But if you're clean and it's like a weird, you know, a smell that's not normal to you, then you might have an infection. So just go to the doctor.
What if, because listen, vaginas have a scent.
Yes, they do.
And so is it strange for you to be having sex and then smell that vagina scent?
I don't think that that's strange. It's only strange if it smells like what it always smells. You're like, that's my vagina.
Right.
So that's good. But if it's like, oh, that's an odd smelling vagina, then there's a problem. And I think I get emails a lot or calls also on Love Life from guys who are like, what do? It smelled weird. It's like, you should just tell her you were like listening to Sex with Emily and, babe, I'm worried about you. Like, I love you. This is not usually like, I love going down on you. I love it being with you. But something's a little off.
Oh my gosh. If a man ever, I would be mortified
if he said nothing and then it was then just like this big elephant in the room.
Right.
Like your big stinky vagina.
A big smelly elephant.
You would hope that you could smell your own self.
Yeah.
Too.
I mean, check it out. Make sure that you're clean too before. Mm-hmm. Like, I always like, you know, do the wipe up before I'm with someone. I try to go to the bathroom.
Greatest thing ever.
Right.
Baby wipes.
Carry them in your bag. There's all these like femme wipes too. Make sure they don't
have any chemicals.
Yeah. Like, just do a little something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We do have some young listeners, and we got a lot of emails that just said, how do I know when I should be having sex? What is sex going to feel like for the first time?
Okay. That's a great one. I actually just did a show on this, our virgin show. We just did a virgin show that's coming out.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So they should check that out on Sex with Emily. But it's, God, what you expect the first time? I mean, it's, you're not going to see like rainbows and unicorns.
Probably disappointment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be everything that you think it's cracked up to be. Your partner's not expecting you to be perfect and to know every single move because it's your first time. And hopefully, if it is your first time, that it's with someone that you trust, someone that you know, at least know well enough to know their character. They're not going to make you feel bad about yourself, you know, because it is a chart. Let's talk as women, right? Like, I mean, it's a charged thing. Like, you always remember your first. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, you don't remember, like, the first time, like, you went on a bike ride or, like, the first time you did. Like, you're, like, sex, you remember. So I would say make sure you're making a good choice about who it is. Don't be pressured into it. And but when you do decide, you know, there could be some pain. There might be bleeding, although there is a hymen myth that, you know, only, like, less than half of women bleed the first time. So a lot of women are like, I didn't bleed, so I'm not a virgin. Like, that's just a total myth. Like, so, half of women do. So, because you might tear it in other ways. And just kind of go and be in the moment. And, it, you know, might be painful, might, you know, but you're probably not going to have an orgasm. You're probably not going to see fireworks. But I think go slow. And if you experience any pain, let your partner know. And again, just hopefully you're with someone that you feel good about and you trust.
Ooh, okay. What's a G-spot? And how do I know mine exists? What's it supposed to feel like? How does it work?
Oh, God. This has been a whole episode. Okay, your G-spot is called the Grafenberg spot, actually, against the doctor who actually named it years ago. He found it.
How did he discover it?
Yeah,
what the heck
one.
Was he doing?
So the G-spot is about 2 inches inside your vagina. So it's like it's in the anterior wall of your vagina. So if you stick two fingers inside in a come hither motion going like towards your belly button, Okay. Mm-hmm. Towards your belly button. It's about 2 inches inside, and you'll feel like a rough, kind of feels like a walnut shape. And that is your G-spot.
Why is it there?
What? It's just, you know what? That's a really good question. It's just, it's from, I don't even.
It's like an appendix. Yeah. You don't really need it.
Exactly.
Remove
well, like
G-spot.
The clitoris too. I mean, you know, 8,000 nerve endings. Like the only reasons the clitoris exists is for, you know, pleasure.
Yeah.
So the G-spot, but the problem with the G-spot is it's so elusive is that so many women don't find it like during intercourse. They think, well, why do I not have one? And so.
Does everyone have one?
Yeah, everyone pretty much has one or they could find one. I mean, there's some women like who are like, I can't find it. It's nowhere. But for a lot of women who've never found it and they've had sex a lot, they're like, I don't understand or I've tried it. So how you find it is, first of all, it's great to be turned on and to be aroused because it's more likely to swell and all the, you know, blood will rush to that area. So typically if you can have a clitoral orgasm, you can knock that out and you'll be more aroused. But also you can either stick two fingers inside you, you can use a toy, and you just start, it's like a, it's not, it's like a, kind of you put pressure on it like with fingers or you could do it with a penis or a toy. And then a lot of women can orgasm. Typically it feels when you get to the right spot like you're going to pee. But you're not kind of like Kegels, but you actually can have an orgasm. But I have to say that my personal story is that I never found mine during sex. Like I was like, I don't have one. I'm one of those women. And I went to work. Like I think that the most, especially for the virgins too, the most important thing you can do, which I meant to mention her is to spend time figuring out your own body and what makes yourself feel good. And it could take you time. Like I was looking for my G-spot for like years, but then I really focused on it for like 3 months because I was like, I'm really.
You like went on a walkabout.
No, I did. Like I moved to San Francisco and I went on a what?
You went on a walkabout to find your G-spot.
I literally, like, it was like a mission. I was like, a quest because I was like, I've had sex. What's the deal? And this is what, you know, it really was later in life. And I was like, God, I got to find it. And so I had toys. I read all the books. I used lube and I was just like patient with myself. And I was like, oh, that's. And then you figure out where it is. And then when you're having sex with a partner, you can move in that way so you know where it is. I mean, some women are just like, boom, I found it. But for a lot of women, it takes work and it might take you some time.
Julia Roberts should have done that on Eat, Pray, Love. Should have been Eat, Pray.
G-spot.
Right. Exactly. No, I have a friend. I've told this on my show. But in college, she's like, I've never had an orgasm. And she had an internship somewhere. And she spent every day for 30 days. She's like, I'm just going to find it. And she did. Like the 27th day.
Wow.
She was like, I did. So some women it's easier. Some women it's not. But I say it's worth looking for.
Worth looking
Isn't
for.
Isn't it BS that we have to do all this homework?
I know. Because guys are like, bloop,
guys
I'm
are
done.
Like, I have a penis. Like it's my so true. 4-year-old nephew, like, can basically, like, he already gets it.
I know.
You know?
It's so unfair.
I'm not saying he jerks off.
But I was like, right. But he's like there.
But it's like unbelievable. He's not going to have to do this when he's like 30 years old.
We're so complicated.
Like, we're so complicated.
And for men, they're like, so when you say, what's the guy thinking? He might be thinking too, can she show me what she likes? Because I'm not sure what I'm doing. Because everyone's
different.
Yeah,
we're so much more complicated with what we like.
Exactly. Like his last woman, like the last girl he's with, like, you know, more mouth and more fingers. This one hates finger. Like, we're all different. So once you have one figured out, we just change because we're like that. We're women. We get to, like, change our minds and change what we like.
So I love screw that. With men.
Exactly.
There's a lot of rumors about having a baby. It stretches out your vagina. Your sex is never the same. Can you talk to our mamas out there
about
how they are supposed to attend to their vaginas after
Kegel exercises? I'm telling you, they are a miracle. And here's the thing. In France, for aftercare, after postnatal care, they actually, we work with this company called In Control, and it looks like a rabbit vibrator, but it's actually an electrostimulator that you put inside you. Ooh. And it's a vibrator and like a medical device in a way, but it does your Kegel exercises for you. And it's part of the thing. Like, that's what I do. And that's why they're so strong. Like, and you use my app and I do them. And it's like, you just put it in just like stimulation and it just does it. You don't barely have to do anything. So it's
you
pretty cool. But
then
you just lay there and you put it inside you and it's got this electro. It's called In Control. On my website, it's called Pour Moi In Control, the banner or something. And it's the most amazing thing because I had my app because I was like, this is because all my friends who have kids are like, why am I peeing? Like, why I don't enjoy sex anymore. And so it's because Kegels. But if you buy the In Control or you just do them on your own, I promise you, and it takes like a month, which is 5 minutes a day, which is not that much
that's
time.
That's very fast results or something.
Really
like that.
Fast results. So I would say after childbirth, you gotta do it because you literally have stretched all your muscles and they are. You know, you're like peeing, you're just, it's not the same. So you got to put them back together and you got to keep doing them. And also for the G-spot question, same thing is that when I started doing more Kegels too, I was able, my, let's just say my G-spot was much easier to find.
So the Kegels are just
it's the green juice of your vagina.
No, literally, that is so true, and I feel like people don't.
Everything just goes back to Kegels.
It does. It does.
Okay, that's
why
you got to
get started Kegel camp. Yeah.
Okay. Next question. Couple more. Is it normal to squirt? What should you do when it happens the first time you're hooking up with someone? Acknowledge it. Ignore it. Keep on keeping on.
Is it normal? I mean, I would say a lot of women do, and again, from the G spot.
What's the squirting?
Typically, yeah, can we talk about squirting
yes,
and
can.
What it is?
Yes, we can. We absolutely
but
can.
But also, men think it's cool because of porn. I'm
right?
so confused.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, so 10 years ago, nobody was really asking about squirting at all. They were like, when I started, they were like, oh, you know, they were talking about more about other things. But it is because of porn. And I think a lot of guys find it, you know, really hot if you can squirt. And there's all these, like, things that you could teach yourself to. And, you know, you probably can if you sit and you put enough pressure on it once you find your G-spot and you want to go there.
But wait, why does hitting the G-spot make you squirt? Like, what is the...
So it's the... Okay, so the fluid that comes out, people are like, is it your... Because now there's, like, a big debate. Like, it's urine and she's peeing on me. So it's from the periurethral glands. The fluid is what comes out. But there are, like, traces of urine in it. But it's different fluid, comes from a different place, but it's, you know, yeah, it might have
kind
it's,
of
it's a different thing. And women can squirt without having an orgasm. And you can also, like, have an orgasm and squirt, but a lot of women just, like, squirt and it happens. And I think, like, just keep, you know, I think it's, he might say that's really hot or, you know, she could just say, wow, I just squirted, but I don't think it's anything to be embarrassed.
Guys love that.
Again, it's just like it's like the other side of the queef. This is more fun, maybe, but it just happens. Yeah. And guys, that's why there's all these like videos like learn how to squirt. There's like courses
right.
and stuff, whatever.
Oh my God.
Okay.
I'm just going to start peeing and be like, oh my God, I squirted.
Yeah, right.
It's yellow.
He's not going to take like a sample. There was more urine in that.
It smells like piss, but okay. it's squirt juice or whatever. I don't even know what it is.
Like whatever it is, I'm hot. Bye. Okay, last one of our anonymous questions, but actually this question we got about 20 questions of the same type
of
question.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
But I want to read this person's in particular. She said, my boyfriend of 5 years can't give me an orgasm. And this echoed what a lot of people said, which was, I can't have an orgasm, which makes me uninterested in sex, which makes me then turn down my person all the time. And I do, you know, I have sex just because, and I don't want to have to keep saying no.
Right.
Help.
Okay.
And this was a lot of, in various ways, asked the same exact thing.
This is such a good question. So the most important thing is that, so my boyfriend can't give me an orgasm. Nobody's giving you an orgasm. The most important thing I want to say to these women is that you have got to do your work. Like, figure out your body yourself. And I'm telling you, I'm telling you to spend time masturbating. Like, it's pleasure. Like, I'm not saying, like, you got to go, like, do your taxes. It's like, and here's the thing. Like, again, it might not happen right away, but take your phone out of your room unless you want to watch porn or maybe on your computer, whatever you want. But, like, make a time that you're like, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to think sexy thoughts or read erotica or watch whatever it is that turns yourself on. And you just start, like, playing with yourself. It's like you seduce yourself. You know, you think about, you know, use lube and use toys. Toys are amazing. Oh, my God. Toys are so under – I mean, people aren't using toys.
Instant orgasm.
Instant orgasms. I have this toy. The Womanizer is amazing. It's like the 60-second orgasm. But I would say first try on your own because – once you figure out your own body, then you'll be able to explain to your partner what you want. And so for someone, again, it just happens the first time, or it happens when they're riding a bike when they're like 5, which that never happened to me either. But yeah, that's why. It's because they have not spent the time learning their bodies, and they're just thinking that magically he's going to or she's going to move some way and it's going to happen. So this just tells me, like, do your homework. If you go to my site, sexwithemily.com, it's 10 years of, like, and we probably have, like, hundreds of articles on, like, self-pleasure. May is Masturbation Month coming up. Like, we do tons of this, and it gives you, like, step-by-step, like, what to do, what toys to use.
Another thing I left out, like, just how do you increase libido was one of the things that people had kind of added
into
this.
Okay, so, no, that's another top question I get asked. And also, like, another one is, like, mismatched libidos. Like, my partner wants it more than I do. So libido is a really interesting thing. There could be a lot of factors why your libido can decrease. And one of them, like one of the hidden like libido killers is birth control pill.
Damn it.
And they do not tell you that.
Jack just went on the
boom.
Pill.
Boom. Which one? Well, it's
Lowestrin.
Okay. I mean, the thing is, it affects every woman differently. So if that's happening to you, and I do not know why your gynecologists don't tell you this, that is a huge side effect. And so if you're finding that, like, I went on the pill and I don't want sex, you can switch it up. Like, go play with it. Try another one. Also, other medications, antidepressants, kills your sex drive, you know, any other kind, like a lot of other drugs. But it could also be, you know, depression. It could just be that, you know, there could be some other stress, worry.
So when you're describing like a normal sex drive, is a normal person feeling like I need to have sex 5 times a day?
No.
Like what's a normal
like a,
people's
like a 17-year-old boy is. But, right. you know,
but most... like as a woman who's listening, like yeah, if we want to be... What's a normal
there
sex drive?
There is no normal. Okay, I'm not... Like, normal sex drive or how many times a week are you asking like
how many,
you have sex?
How many times a week should we
well, that's another
sex?
Thing. That's not... There's no normal. It's typically what if you're with your partner and you both agree that like, you know... 3 times a week, 5 times a week is great, or 1 time a week, you're both totally satisfied, then that's great. But if one of you wants sex 5 times a week and one of you wants sex once, then you got to do some compromise. And what I also want to say to a lot of the women is that it's kind of like, you know, when you don't want to go to the gym and it's like the last thing you want to do, and then you're like, God, I got the door, and then you're like, okay, I put my shoes on. And then once you get in, you get out the door. And the hardest part sometimes is getting out the door. But once you get to the gym, you're like, okay, I'm going to go. Sex is a lot like that. Like I was going to say, when you were telling me your stretching thing, I was going to say to you, well, maybe if you just, aren't you kind of turned off from stretching? Because typically, if you just start doing it, you're like, oh, you're not going
to
regret it.
You have to get into the,
you got to get into it. And whatever it is, like, also, I think, like, think about, like, what turned you, like, sexy thoughts or whatever it is, like, erotica that, like, turns you on, or maybe a lot of times words, like for women,
yeah,
the brain is our largest sex organ. Like he could be texting you sexy things throughout the day, like I can't wait to see you tonight, and like you have like the, it's like foreplay,
yeah.
Like I always say, foreplay starts after the last orgasm. So like, whatever you can do to keep your mind there, but you know, it's gonna ebb and flow. We get stressed, we get busy, but just look into a lot of those things. I mean,
never regretted an orgasm. You know, there's like that shirt that's like never regretted a workout.
Yeah, exactly. That's amazing. You're never like, oh, why did I have sex? You're never like, why did I go to the gym? That sucks. Never.
Once you get there, yeah,
it's a really good analogy.
What's okay? So the like a lady question was going to be one thing, but now I've in my mind, it literally just switched. And so I'm going to ask every single one of us,
okay,
what is your thing? Like she just said, erotica, you know, your brain. Like, what is your turn on? Becca's face is like, ugh.
No, I'm just like trying
I'm like,
to
damn
think.
It, because I usually think of these beforehand. You go first, Kelsey.
For me, it's being warm.
Like just warm. Temperature?
Like, I know that's crazy, but like for me... I'm always like I only really am like super turned on if I'm like warm. Like right. I like to be under the comfortable thing.
That and is, just, what like, about naked stretching? Are you cold? But then you get your body heat going.
Yeah, you. Okay. I just like I like a warm house. I like that. A warm room. Right. I like candles. Like I like
candle all atmosphere.
All the things that are warmth.
Wow.
For me.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
You know.
I like dirty talk. I like a sexy text or like, hey, I was thinking about you and sexting and all that. Like
I
that
love
the
sexting.
Words get me yeah. turned on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm 100% with you. Yeah. Words for sure.
Like tell me what like, this is another good thing for women and men, like little foreplay. Like tell them what you if you're like, I don't know what to say, like tell them how hot it was last night and like name one specific thing that you remember. Like that was so hot when you blank, or I like when you it's so easy. Just like little things that keep you going and fill your
dirty talk. I'm just like over here under the comforter. So embarrassed.
like it's so warm. Hey.
Wow. Okay. Every kind of it's all what has Emily taught us, which is just
everybody's different.
Everybody. So Jack, dirty talk,
and then I don't know, just seeing like your man turned on,
right,
and like really, yeah. really wanting you,
yeah,
it makes you feel sexy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like when you feel, I don't know, like desired.
Yeah,
when absolutely. You're feeling really good about yourself, then it's like,
well, and we've talked about this so many times. Where you're like, what if he sees my cellulite? What if blah, blah, blah? And it's like a guy, if he's just so into you that it, nothing else matters, and you're not worrying about your insecurities, then I think that's like what is the sexiest thing.
That's true.
Be present. Be in the moment. Like we're as women, like we worry so much, and we just they're not noticing any of that stuff, you know. So I think we take ourselves 100%. Out of the moment. And the more you can just direct back to your body, like, what am I feeling? Okay, I'm thinking I'm fat, but go back to the moment. Like, where am I? This is what's happening. I'm connecting with him. Like, as much as it's like meditation, like, the more you can just train your mind to go back to the moment, like, I'm with this person. This is great. We're kissing. Oh my God, my thighs. No, back to kissing. You know what
well,
I mean?
Like, that was the question I was going to ask you, because I think with women, am I echoey?
No.
To anybody else? Just me. With women, it's the orgasm is like so much more mental than I think it is for a guy. Like you have to like hone in and be like, I'm going to orgasm. This is going to happen. I have to not think about anything else. And then for me, it's like sometimes if I feel like if I get off the train, then it's like hard for me to get back
absolutely.
On it and make it happen.
Like the disappearing.
How about I had to break up with a guy because I kept seeing his mother's face in his. I can't date a guy who looks too much like their mother.
I really can't.
Really?
When, yes. Now, like, since that happened, when I started dating people,
you're
on, like,
show
a
me
first
a pic
date.
Of your mom.
Yeah, I would, or like after it got to like a couple dates, it's like once you see pictures of their parents or meet their parents,
right.
you really, like if he looks too much like his mother, even the dad, like I don't want to like.
What if the dad's cute?
That if the dad's so cute, funny. That's different.
Yeah,
that's
you're
so
like,
funny.
Yes.
I don't need, you think of the mother. That's maybe they, you deal. Just that's... shouldn't ask to see the mother. Maybe just like, I don't want to meet your mom.
Ever.
You.
Ever.
That's so funny.
We get married, yeah. Your mom's not coming.
It was maybe like, you need someone who's adopted.
Oh, yeah.
I would not have this problem.
But I no. do think it's so... Sorry.
No, it's just... it's.
I do think
things.
It's so interesting, though. When
they take you out.
Yeah,
the mom face just really
because
takes you out.
Because when you're... listen, we live in
buzzkill.
Hollywood, and we watch all these movies, and like I think what you said is very true, because it's like it's a little bit harder than Hollywood and the sexy texts and Rihanna music videos are making it look.
It's
to,
also
like, actually get off.
Harder
God,
than it is for a guy. Like, yeah. Guys...
It's so... I'm telling you, it's hard for women, and that's why you should not be embarrassed to say, you know what, I'm going to touch myself, because here's the problem why a lot of women don't have the orgasms during intercourse, is because most women require clitoral stimulation.
Mm-hmm.
Most sex positions, the go-to ones, are not hitting your clitoris at all. You're not getting enough stimulation. And so you should not be shy about using your fingers, your hands, more lube, a toy. There's so many great little tiny vibrating toys. Like I love like the We Vibe Touch, and like they're like they fit in your, or the Mimi by Jeju. They fit in your hand. It's like it doesn't look like this big scary thing, but it's like a vibrator. It gets you there. Like just do whatever you have to, because you should have yours. Absolutely.
I love that.
I love that.
All right. When we come back, we're going to do some non-sex related questions so we can just get some advice, some relationship and life advice from you.
Boring.
Let's talk about sex.
Hey, ladies! Get funky.
Ask the Lady Gang.
All right, so you're going to help us with some non-sex-related questions because you're just like a knowledgeable person, and I think that you might be a little bit better at answering them than we are. But before we start, if you guys want to get 20% off on jackvanek.com, use code LADYGANG and buy a Too Lazy to Be Crazy flannel. And we're all going to be twins.
Twins.
Twinsies. Okay, so the first question comes from Sarah through email. Oh, and if you guys want to write us anonymous questions, you can email helloladygang@gmail.com. And we'll try our best.
Unless you're Taylor Swift and you're no longer anonymous.
Or we're just going to pretend everybody's Taylor Swift in our questions. Okay, so first question comes from Sarah through email, and she says, I have a horrible roommate. First of all, she's really rude and passive aggressive. And second of all, she has an OCD clean. She is an OCD cleaner, and it's really stressing me out. I've been living with her for a year and a half now, and I can't take it one more second. What can I do to make it through the last 3 months until my lease is up and I can get the hell away from this biatch?
It's so bad being a bad living situation.
Roommates
it's like,
roommates
you cannot,
suck.
The roommates suck. I haven't had a roommate in so long.
But Sarah, are you messy?
That's what I was thinking too.
Maybe your roommate's just like
it
a normal
be,
cleaner.
It be, isn't it nice that your roommate is cleaning
I would be
for you?
So pumped.
Although
it's like
she
a
might be kind of one of those bees that like does it in front of you and like spiteful. And
like if like, you have like a cup out, she like takes the cup and like puts in the yeah.
That's awful.
I mean, that's so
three
hard.
3 more months.
Just I mean, suck it up and move through.
Yeah, 3 months will like fly by. But maybe do your best to like, you know, maybe it's a good thing. It feels better when you're a little bit cleaner. Like if you know what's annoying her and it's like you can pick up, you know, put your bag in your bedroom. Just like do it.
Well, just keep your mess to your own room,
point,
number one.
Yeah, exactly. Like just throw all your stuff in your room. Just get in that habit because it's a habitual. Like you're like, okay, I'm going to throw this in the living room, but I could walk into my room now. Because you got 3 months. I mean, she could confront her, but what if it gets really, you know, I would
probably there's a light at the end of that tunnel. So it's just like.
Don't confront, but also, this is a great metaphor for life, because your whole life, whether you're living with this particular person or not, is going to be you having to compromise, mm-hmm. and especially when you get in a long-term relationship and you're living with someone, guess what? That person that you fall in love with, that you love their peen, and they found your G-spot, they might leave their dishes, they might want you to be OCD clean, and so it's just about figuring out how to meet someone in the middle.
It's true.
There are worse things that your roommate could be doing too.
Yeah, what if
I had one that I found pictures from after I moved out of her handcuffed to the radiator and having orgies on my bed.
On your bed?
How'd you find the pictures?
Wearing my tank top.
Oh no.
Do you still have that tank top?
No, I never saw it after her orgy.
Oh, she stole it.
Where did you see the orgy pictures?
In our dorm room.
Oh?
Yes.
Wait, so this was in your dorm room? Away.
Yeah, yeah. She was my roommate. And
that's such a small orgy.
You would be shocked. It was like, it was scenes out of like the greatest porn ever. Wow. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
On my bed. So you know what, Sarah? Just clean your dishes.
Right. Could be an orgy.
Could be worse.
Squirt an orgy.
Okay.
In your tank top.
That's so sad you never got it back. Nope. Okay, our second question's from Heather through email, and she says, I met a guy on Tinder 6 months ago. We started dating almost immediately because we hit it off so well. When we first started dating, I asked him if he was on Facebook. He said no. Fast forward to about a week ago, and a girl popped up on the People You May Know section. My guy was in the picture with her. I clicked on her profile and found out that she's been dating the same guy I've been dating since 2011. The moment I found out, me and the guy broke up. I think she deserves to know, but I also don't want it to seem like I'm just trying to start trouble. I definitely am not, but I would want somebody to tell me in this situation. What would you do?
Wait, they broke up in 2011?
So she started dating this guy.
Okay.
Found out that he has been dating this other girl since 2011, but then when this girl found out, she broke up with the guy. But now she wants to tell the other girl, but doesn't know if she should.
Do you tattle on you tattle on the guy?
And she's still dating the guy and she already broke up?
No, she's not. She broke up with him, but the other girl is still dating him.
I don't think so.
I mean, yeah, that's such a
I don't know. It's so hard, like the girl code thing, but like, I'm glad she broke up with him already. So she just saw the picture. And if she was, I thought she was still with him, but I say no. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, I know there's a certain, like, right now rage you want to, like, you should know that he's a cheating. Yeah. I don't know.
Becca?
I don't know. I don't know.
It is tough because it's like you think you're helping, but then at the same time, it's
like maybe
just
they have an arrangement, maybe they're in an open relationship. I think she should just move on from this guy.
And it's like he's also probably dating with other girls.
Yeah, and if she's been with him since 2011, unless she's Helen Keller, like she's sensing that he's straight.
That's what I was gonna say.
I mean, like, we have. Right. You know what I mean? Like, also, she will see something.
If he's on Tinder, somebody's seeing him on Tinder.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't be on Tinder anonymously.
Yep.
So I'm sure that's either arrangement or she knows he's cheating on him and doesn't care. Or
I think she should walk away and get back on Tinder.
Yep.
Or not Tinder.
I mean, first of all, I think you should go live your life. But also, I'm going to disagree with you guys. I think you should tell him or her. And the reason is that, like, I was cheated on in a relationship for many years. And, like, the people close to me knew, and other guys that we were friends with, their girlfriends knew, and no one ever told me.
Yeah, but that's friends.
That's true. That is friends. I had a couple
Their friends didn't tell you, or your
friends?
Like,
if we were in a circle of friends, right? Like, if there was six of us that all hung out all the time, those other girlfriends knew about the cheating and didn't tell me.
Oh, I flipped their tires.
Yeah, see, me too. Your friend should tell you.
That's different. But this is a stranger, I guess you're right.
Yeah, anonymous. Like, don't go down that road. You don't need to.
But I also had one of the girls that he cheated on me with write me a big email, like, I didn't know about you. I'm feeling so guilty. I didn't know about you. He told me that you were just friends or you had an open relationship, and then I was like, I knew the lies he was telling. So
then did that make you feel better? Are you glad that
I still hated
you?
Her and I still hated him. So you're right. You know what? After much thought, well, just walk away and live your best life.
You're like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's not a good situation happen in that. I think the thing to walk away from is like you walked away from it.
Right.
So it's like you're stress free, you're drama free. Like just go back on Tinder and find somebody else. Right.
And also, is there like a Facebook button where you can say like, don't show me this again?
Yeah.
I think there is.
That's what you need.
It's called deactivate.
Okay, so our last question is from Kate on email, and she says, I'm conflicted. If you knew your friends were stealing, doing drugs, or other illegal things, what would you do?
Blackmail them and get a cut.
You're such a bitch. I'm kidding.
Get new friends?
Yeah.
I don't know how old she is, but, you know.
That's like another thing. It's just don't get involved in drama that you're not involved in.
Exactly.
Just don't do it and then get new friends.
People don't stop doing things like that unless they want to.
Yeah.
You're not yet. You tattling on them is not going to do anything.
Do you guys remember being young in like high school and
stealing?
Sometimes like young girls would plan interventions and they would like contact the parents of like a girl who was anorexic or a girl who was having anal in the locker room.
It was just you, Becca.
I never did that.
On the radiator. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe it's just me. But like, don't do that. Don't contact someone's parents unless they're like shooting up heroin. They're going to die. Like, that never, ever went over well.
Yeah, unless there's, like, an immediate danger to their life.
You can go parent to parent. Like, go to your parent, they'll go to the parent. Like, because that was always, like, a disaster. I feel like there was interventions, right, like, once a week at my school.
I've never had one, but...
And also, the thing is that you got to let people make their mistakes. I mean, when I was in eighth grade, my best friend Katie stole a lip smacker from Walmart. And she got reprimanded. She found out, and then she had a life ban from Walmart. And, like, you have to make your mistakes. And so, you might be all high and mighty, like, holy grail, where you're looking at these people, like, dealing drugs or stealing or whatever. But at some point, they're going to get caught, or something's going to happen where... Either they become a drug dealer for their life, or they get on the straight and narrow, and you kind of have to let people live their lives, make their mistakes without being too like Mother Teresa.
Yeah, you can't tell anybody what to do.
People can change.
I mean,
banned from the CVS by my high school.
You were?
Yeah.
What'd you steal?
Lip gear.
Gear.
This is the 80s. Lip gear was so important to me.
It was the 90s.
It wasn't the brand lip gear.
Oh.
It was just lip.
I was thinking of LA gear, the sneakers. Never mind.
No, lip accoutrement. And so it was right by the corner of my high school. And I went in there with some older girlfriends. And we were shoplifting. And we got caught. And they're like, never come in here again. And then, like, my mom would sometimes drive me to school. And she'd be like, do you want to run into the CVS and get, like, a bottle of water for ballet? And I'm like, no! But guess what? I have not shoplifted since.
This same kind of thing happened to me, but it was with my cousin stole a thong from JCPenney when we were, I don't know, in fourth grade. And I was like, I was this girl. I was like, innocent little, I'd never do anything wrong. So when she got like arrested into their JCPenney jail, I was so scared and freaked out that they thought I stole stuff too. So they started like raiding my bags because I was like freaking out and like running away from them because my mom also told me not to talk to strangers. But then I never stole anything ever, but I never would after that.
Emily, have you ever shoplifted?
I did. I stole a chocolate bunny once.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it was like an Easter like candy like bunny thing. And my friend was like a chronic shoplifter in seventh grade.
Everybody was a chronic shoplifter in seventh grade.
I think we were at JCPenney as well at the mall, and she stole lipstick, and the freaking security guards come out with the things, and they took her beyond. And
they have a JCPenney jail.
Yes, it's they insane. Do. I remember this. We had to call our parents to come pick her up.
Yeah, I had to call my parents too.
Like it was like your heart chasing. And I hadn't stole anything either, but she didn't. Yeah, and that I had stole the bunny with her like a week earlier, and then she like went full hardcore. That was like at our local drugstore, which wasn't even like a chain. It was like the mom and pop thing. And then she went crazy stealing stuff. And then, yeah, she did. And then she got in trouble.
You know, JCPenney is kind of like the mecca of stealing.
It was freaking JCPenney, which is so funny. And I'm like, what the hell? It was the last time I was playing JCPenney. Yeah.
So the moral of the story is everybody steals in seventh grade. So
you make a shirt with something like, I'd rather be in JCPenney jail.
JCPenney jail is the best thing ever.
It's so good. It's so fun.
Because you know what it looks like. And it's like that weird cardboard wall.
It smells like polyester. It's just corkboard.
It's like, it's just a really small room.
Like a really overweight, like, security guard with a muffin top.
That's really using his power. Dick.
Wow. This was fun. Dr. Emily, yes. Where can people get a hold of you if they have more burning questions?
Oh, more burning questions. You can email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Or if you just go to sexwithemily.com, easily you go to the Ask Emily section, just submit your question. Also, Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat is all @sexwithemily. And then facebook.com/sexwithemily. And iTunes is the podcast. Subscribe. Very easy.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We read a study that 60% of podcast listeners listen to other podcasts. So if you're looking for something else to subscribe to, we, the Lady Gang, really want you to also subscribe to Sex with Emily.
Yes. We love it.
Have a listen, because I think clearly we enjoy you, and it's a great podcast, and it's very interesting and stuff you should know. And we learned a lot.
Good. I'm glad. It's fun. Yeah. We answer emails. We give the topics on every show. And so, yeah. I learned this was fun, and you guys are on my show.
And if you need to buy some sex toys, you can go to her website, because I saw there's all kinds of links for like
so
sexy
things. I only put toys on that I've tried and that I like. So,
oh, that's good.
Like discount code.
They're all Emily approved.
Emily approved.
Emily approved. Spent a lot of time trying those out.
Okay,
so
hold on. Who's having sex tonight?
Oh, my boyfriend's not here.
I'll be on a red eye. So,
oh, cool. I'm going to do it for all of you. Naked stretching style is my warm up this time. Okay, guys. So make sure you subscribe. Thank you so much for listening to the Lady Gang podcast. Follow us on Instagram. It's Becca Tobin @JackVanek, Kelty Knight. Also follow the Lady Gang. Help us reach 10,000 subscribers. Submit your Ask the Lady Gang questions to us each week on theladygang.com. And while you're there, sign up for our newsletter, because we have something very special coming out April 11th. And you're not going to want to miss it.
Mark your calendar.
And if you're not on the newsletter, you won't know what it is. Thank you so much. And stay sexy.
Yay! Woo! Yay! Yay!
Join the Lady Gang every Tuesday at iTunes and at PodcastOne.com. That's PodcastOne.com. Thanks for listening.